Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm really sorry that it's taken so long to put out another episode, and I just want to say a big thank you to the few people who had sent in some feedback and expressed how much they enjoyed and look forward to the podcast. You should know that you are really the cause of me finally sitting down to record another episode, and I will continuously try to get better and put out more frequent episodes. And thank you all for the feedback. So, I wanted to share some modalities with you of Jewish ways of thinking about how we approach the whole attitude of our relationship with Hashem, our relationship with the Torah, with Judaism, like you might have in, you know, in psychology, where you have different modalities or different archetypes of, you know, you take your good old psychological assessment quiz on Facebook, and it turns out that you're this and this type of one type or another. In Judaism, we also have certain archetypes that we can find ourselves in, and there's some value in doing these exercises and kind of figuring out where you fit in, because with a greater understanding of who you are and how you're wired and what makes you tick, you can then better address your your life in terms of your motivation, in terms of what areas you focus on, making sure you're focusing on your strengths and addressing your weaknesses and things like that. So it's not just navel gazing for the sake of navel gazing, but there could actually be some real value. So what I wanted to share with you is like this. In the Torah, there's basically two modes that the Torah describes us being in the context of our relationship with Hashem and with all of Judaism. One modality, which is actually, I think, quoted and cited more frequently in the Torah, is the modality of being a servant. From when we left Egypt, when we were slaves and servants to Pharaoh, the Torah reiterates a number of times that Hashem took us out of Egypt in order for us to serve Him. And that's actually the second half of the famous line of "Let my people go," is "Let my people go so that they can serve me." That's actually what it was all about. So the idea that we are God's servants is definitely a prominent theme throughout the Torah, and we'll explain and explore a little bit more of what that constitutes and what it refers to. And then the other modality is the modality of being a child of Hashem, which is also something that's cited in the Torah a number of times, that we are Hashem's children. And obviously, the relationship between a servant and a master versus the relationship between a child and a parent could not be more different in so many different ways. So let's explore what these two modalities represent and how they can apply to our lives. Number one, the modality of a servant. In the modality of a servant, there's really no inherent connection between the servant and the master. The only reason that the servant is engaged in any kind of working relationship with the master is either because he has no choice in the lowest form of things, where he's just forced into it, like almost like forced slavery. I have no choice. I really would rather not be here, but I have no choice and I have to be here. And that's sort of the worst, the lowest, low quality level relationship. You also have a higher degree of servitude where it's not forced but freely chosen. And if you might compare this to more of a typical English butler, where it's a job of service, but it's definitely not a close, intimate relationship. It's definitely a relationship of, yes, I chose to be here, but I am not your peer. I am your servant. You are not my friend. You are my boss. You are my master. I admire you. I respect you as the master. I think highly of you. I think you're a master and a boss worth working for. I'm happy to do the work, but really, there's nothing in it for me. I am not here for any personal gain. I'm here because I believe that serving you is the best thing I can do with my life. It's an honor to be at your service, and so on. Contrast that with the modality of a child, where for the child to do something for a parent, first of all, off the bat, there's an inherent relationship, an inherent connection between the two of them. There's tremendous love, in the best case scenario at least, tremendous love between the child and the parent. And the child is only too happy to do something that brings the parent joy, that brings the parent some relief, or any kind of benefit that they can bring to the parent. And there's something very personal and intimate about that whole relationship. It goes without saying that, I don't think I need to explain this in great detail, it goes without saying that the nature of the relationship between a parent and a child, and everybody can understand how this is with their own parents, is vastly different than how it is with a boss, with a master. And so since the Torah gives us these two archetypes as methods of understanding, of forms of understanding, and sort of giving some context and framing the relationship that we have with Hashem, we can then take a look and say, okay, is my relationship with Hashem, is my relationship with all of Judaism? I use these terms interchangeably because I really do think that one's relationship with Hashem is a synonym for one's relationship with Judaism. And you can really, I think that they go hand in hand, although you can focus on each one maybe a little bit in and of themselves, but they really do go hand in hand. So is my relationship with Hashem more of the servant kind of relationship, which means I do it, you know, when I do a mitzvah, let's say I go to a Passover Seder, do I do that because, you know, I must, I have no choice, I accept that it's my responsibility, I accept that it's the right thing to do, I have to do it, but I really would rather not, and if I had a choice, I would be somewhere else? Or is it maybe the higher level of service where, you know, I'm doing this for you, out of my respect for you, I don't have any other place I'd rather be. Actually, I think this is the best place I'd rather be. I'm happy to be here, but I'm not doing it for me, and there's nothing intimate about it. It's really just out of my great admiration and respect. I devote myself to you, Hashem, and I do this thing for you, and I serve you by participating in a Passover Seder, because I know that's what you want me to do. But it's absent any sort of intimate feelings of closeness and intimacy and love, and it's just more out of a sense of, you know, what an inspiring boss to work for. So here I am working for you and devoting myself to you in that way. And then the third option is the option of, I'm actually doing this as a child, where there's great love, a great feeling of intimacy that comes through doing that. They're all acts of service. But the question is, what is our mindset? What is our approach in what motivates us to do these acts of service in the first place? And without getting lost in all the detail, and there's more detail to come, let me just say that all of us can probably find different elements of Judaism where we act on different archetypes. In other words, one person will feel that for me to go to the Passover Seder is a real drag. I'd rather not, but I'll do it because I feel I must. I feel I ought to. You know, it's the right thing to do, even if you're not in the mood, so I'll do it. Other people will have a very different attitude toward the Passover Seder. They'll have an attitude more like a child going to a parent. It's an act of love. But then turn it around and say, you know, what about giving charity? And people will have, the person who loves going to the Passover Seder might feel like a real struggle, and it's almost suffocating when he feels, I have to give charity. I really would rather not. It's very difficult for me to give money away. I don't believe in the whole concept. I think everybody should just work and earn their own money, blah, blah, blah. I'm a huge capitalist. And I do it anyway because I know I must, but I don't want to. And the same person who might have a difficult time participating in the Passover Seder has the biggest joy writing monthly checks to their favorite charities and supporting people in need and so on. So I think we can always find ourselves in different elements of this. I don't think it's a binary of you are this type all the time in every aspect of Judaism, in every aspect of your life. And I think it's important that we realize that I actually have the capacity to be like a servant and like a child in various ways and various times and places. And we need to have both elements present in our lives all the time. In other words, it's not enough for a person to say, I'm a loving, devoted person, and I do things out of love. So whenever I do it out of love, great. If I can't do it out of love, it doesn't happen. No. The things that you do out of love are wonderful. And you also have to have times in your life where you do things out of duty, out of responsibility. And it's crucial. It's crucial that we have that element built in. It should not, we should not be, you know, one-trick ponies of capable of you know, only one-dimensional approach in our relationship with Hashem. We have to be able to do the things we do out of love and also do some things out of a sense of duty and responsibility. Ultimately, these principles are going to hold true for other relationships in our life as well, in our lives as well. So the principles that hold true in the context of relationship with Hashem can be applied to a marriage just as well. There are things that you'll do for your spouse out of love. There are things that you do for your spouse out of duty. And you need to kind of have both, because you don't love doing everything. Nobody loves doing everything that needs to be done. Some things you love and some things have to depend on a sense of duty. And it's crucial that we're able to develop that and not be limited in our capacity for embracing the full range of what's expected of us in our relationship with Hashem. And Hashem should bless us all to be able to activate and act upon the element of serving Hashem as a servant, and also the element of serving Hashem as a child, for a full, colorful, and active, lively connection and relationship with Hashem. And may it be so that we may it be that we activate all this and do our best to bring our full self, one way or the other, into the relationship with Hashem. And by doing so, we will hasten the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days. Amen. I look forward to hearing some feedback from you, and God willing, very soon, another episode. Be well. Now, another point which I neglected to mention in the first segment is the following. Which one of these modalities brings the most service to the table? What do I mean? When a child is doing something for a parent, is it really an act of service, of devotion? Or is it something that, because there's so much love involved and the gratification that comes to the child by doing something, when you know you've done something for your parents that they appreciate, you feel so good. You feel so happy. There's nothing wrong with that. But in a certain degree, in a certain way, it comes at the expense of the pure act of service, of devotion on their terms. Because at the end of the day, there's something in it for you. Even though that's not your primary motivation, even though that's not what it's all about, it's inescapable that that's part of the experience. And so that compromises sort of the purity of what it means to do something for somebody else. Because when I do something for you, but there's also a kickback for me, then I can't say that I've truly done it only for your sake. And when it comes to the servant at the low level, who would much rather not be at the Passover Seder, but they're only doing it because they believe and they accept that they must, and it's the right thing to do, and they ought to do it. They're purely out of duty. They don't have any enjoyment whatsoever. In a certain sense, that's superior from the aspect, from the perspective of where do you have more devotion and service. Because when that person is sitting at the Passover Seder, they're only doing it for one reason, because it's the right thing to do. I am not here because this is bringing any meaning to my life. I am not here because this is making me feel good. I am not here because I love it and I enjoy it and I would do it whether it was right or wrong. I'm only here because it's the right thing to do. So in that sense, there's a pure, pure devotion to the ideal of sitting at a Passover Seder. And if you zoom out a little bit more, there's a pure devotion to Hashem. There's a pure devotion to the commandments of the Torah. Because there's nothing else in it for that person at that time. And what this means, I think, is that sometimes we find ourselves in a situation like that where doing the right thing is being motivated and driven completely and exclusively by a sense of duty. And we don't enjoy it, we don't find it meaningful, and it doesn't speak to us. and so on. And in today's modern world, doing something that you don't feel is meaningful to you, or doing something that you don't understand or agree with or find relevant and so on, is grounds to not do it at all. We live in a very self-centric society that promotes do what you feel like doing and practice self-love, and there's seemingly no room for doing something out of a sense of responsibility and duty. And so therefore, in our culture, it might feel like the most ridiculous thing to do something only because it's the right thing to do, even though every fiber of your being screams, go do something else. And even more, it could feel hypocritical. Who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm fooling, going about sitting at a Passover Seder when a whole year I don't claim and I don't practice and I don't believe in any of this? So maybe I'm just a hypocrite. And the whole notion that I'm going to do something out of a sense of duty and responsibility maybe has no validity. Because where was I yesterday? And where am I tomorrow? And so the notion that there actually is a wonderful element of pure service, which is so noble and so selfless, because there is nothing in it for you, precisely because it doesn't mean anything to you, precisely because you would much rather be doing something else, precisely because, you know, it really doesn't get you out of bed, but you're doing it anyway, is why it has such value and why it has such merit. And it doesn't need to be dismissed out of you know, a feeling of hypocrisy or a feeling of, you know, if it's not coming from my heart and I don't feel excited about it, then what value could it have? The value that it has is the value of service, the value of doing something for another simply because it's important to them, even though it means nothing to you. And to maybe bring this down to earth a little bit, the husband who buys his wife cut flowers for her birthday, a beautiful bouquet, when every fiber of his being says, I'd much rather invest this $75 into a beautiful tree that I can plant in the yard and you'll have for 50 years. Why am I throwing away money on cut flowers that are going to die in 3 days and you're not going to have anything from it? It seems like such a waste of money. But he puts that all aside and he says, you know what? I know that if I come home with a peach tree, she's going to shoot me. And if I come home with a beautiful bouquet for her birthday, she'll melt and she'll be so happy. So I put that all aside and I say, I'm going to buy the bouquet of flowers. I'm leaving the peach tree for another project, for another time. And when he does that, I don't think anybody would say that there's some kind of fatal flaw in this bouquet of flowers because he did it only on her terms. On the contrary, what a beautiful act of dedication, what a beautiful act of service to buy your wife flowers when you know it's meaningful to her, even though it's so meaningless and even stupid to you, if you'll pardon the expression. But we all understand how that's a great husband. And so the same thing is that makes a great Jew. To do something when you feel like you'd rather be doing something else, when you don't understand why this is important, is such a pure act of service that overrides any other weakness that it might have. If it doesn't come from, you know, your pure heart and you don't love it and it's not meaningful to you and so on, there are other metrics that make things worth doing besides for how personally meaningful it is to you in your own subjective reality. So please keep this in mind and have this as a principle, a foundational principle in your life, for your relationships, for your Judaism. It's not only about what's meaningful, it's also about what's right and what's meaningful to the other party in the relationship. L'chaim.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to devote your attention to learning about Judaism, picking up some knowledge about Torah, and most of all, stimulating the next steps in your own spiritual journey. I'd love to hear from you with any comments, feedback, questions, challenges, rebuttals, you name it, to what you've heard in this episode. Please reach out to me anytime by email at rmg@jewishwaterloo.com. Have a great day.